chapter 7. Tonight we're going to continue our series on surviving the storms of life. Life has storms, and they come to us all. And what you have to do is take the Word of God and learn how to handle those storms. My subject tonight is surviving the storm of unforgiveness. Surviving the storm of unforgiveness. In this series, we're talking about God's principles for victorious living. How do you face a storm and come out of that storm victorious? Well, the storms of life, they are going to come, and they're going to come to us all. There's no escaping that. And if you're going to survive those storms, then you must build your life on the solid bedrock of God's Word. Look in Matthew 7:24. This is Jesus preaching part of his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them." So you got to hear them and you got to do them. He said, if you hear them and do them, "I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And look at verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." The storms of life, they come to us all. The rains will descend. The floods will rise up against you. And the winds will blow and they will beat upon your life and upon your house. See, the storms that the devil sends, they beat upon our lives, and they are sent by our enemy to destroy us and to take us down, to take us under. But if you will build your house upon the bedrock of God's Word, when the storms come, you'll be able to stand and you will be victorious in life. I want to talk to you tonight about surviving the storm of unforgiveness. And you're going to see that this is a storm that comes against everybody. And your walk with God and your victories all depend on what you do when it comes to this subject matter I'm talking about tonight. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Lord Jesus, your word leads us and guides us in paths of righteousness. You're our shepherd. You're the word. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts and, Lord, to lives, and help us all to be overcomers in this area and to forgive one another as you have forgiven us. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, if you do these things of mine, the sayings, that means that you don't just automatically get it, that you're automatically going to stand because you're a Christian. No, you've got to do what the Word of God says. And what does the Word have to say about unforgiveness? I meet so many people, and they are held in their past, and they're held there because of what happened yesterday. Somebody hurt them. You may be here tonight. Someone may have molested you as a child. You may have had a friend that betrayed you, and it was cut you so deep that you're not able to forgive. Or maybe something has happened to you in life in a business deal, or someone did you wrong and hurt you so deeply that you have not been able to forgive, and you've tried to, but deep in the back recesses of your mind, you know that you have not done that. Well, if you fit into that category anywhere, then this message is for you. So many people cannot get healed, and they cannot get the blessings of God simply because they will not forgive. So what does the Word have to say about forgiveness? Where do we find the strength to forgive in order to live a victorious Christian life? I don't want to just live this life. I want a life of victory. I want the life that Jesus came. He said, "I am come that you might have life and have it" what? "More abundantly." That's what I want. So I want to answer these questions tonight, and I want to help you see where this thing comes from and why we all are affected by it. Unforgiveness is an emotional disturbance. It is a social action. It is a part of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. It comes from a feeling, and it does not come from human reasoning. You have a feeling, and somebody did you wrong. And so if you were to reason it out, you would see the destructiveness of this thing in how it can destroy a marriage. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy your home. It can destroy every aspect of your life. But it's a soulish action. Unforgiveness is related to a feeling of, I've been injured. I've been injured. You have hurt me, and I'm mad, and I refuse to forgive you. So unforgiveness is a negative, depressive emotion, and you have to know that. Unforgiveness is not a positive emotion. It cannot make you happy. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head. Let it be in Jesus. See, unforgiveness, it will be tested over and over and over and over again in your Christian walk. So this subject matter tonight is very pertinent to everything that you face in life. If you fail this test, then you will lose the battles of life. It's just that simple. But if you pass this test on forgiving others, then you get all of heaven's resources behind you. If you give God everything and obey God's word, you can get everything God has for your life, everything he's planned. I like the way John Hagee said, every thou shall not in the Bible is God's way of saying don't hurt yourself. So be ye doers of the word. Jesus said, if you hear my sayings and if you do them, I will liken you unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock, the bedrock of God's word. I promise you something, that if you will live by this word, victory belongs to you. Not enough devils that can stop you if you will become a doer of the word. Now, the greatest power in the universe is the power of forgiveness. That's a pretty bold statement, but it's true. The greatest power in the universe is the power of forgiveness. When Jesus was hanging upon the cross, he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying. The greatest power in the universe is the power of forgiveness. That could not have been any saving power without forgiveness. That could not have been any healing power if on the cross there had not been forgiveness. That could not be Pentecostal power without the power of forgiveness. When Jesus, the Son of God, hung upon that cross and said, Father, forgive them, that one word, forgive, it changed everything. In one word, when Jesus said, forgive, suddenly a streak of God's glory struck the earth. Hallelujah. And three worlds were affected. When Jesus said, forgive, the doors of that old dispensation of law, they were slammed shut. And the doors of grace were suddenly open. Hallelujah. And they were open wide. And it all happened because of one word, forgive. Now, Jesus knew just how destructive unforgiveness could be. So when he taught his disciples the model prayer, he included in that prayer forgiveness. Jesus said, when you pray, ask the Father to forgive you as you forgive others. In other words, if you don't forgive others, guess what? You're not getting any forgiveness. If you don't extend mercy to others, there's no mercy for you from God's throne of grace. Look at Matthew 6 and 12. Jesus said, he taught us to pray, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It all belongs to you, God, but lead us not into temptation. Now, God doesn't tempt us, and he doesn't lead us there. What he's saying is, God, don't let me go into that area of being tempted. God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man with evil. So a lot of people have some controversy there. But I want you to look at verse 14 because Jesus comes back after concluding this prayer and he emphasizes a second time the power of forgiveness. Look at Matthew 6:14. Jesus said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, he comes back a third time. Look, Jesus, he keeps talking over and over in this passage about forgiveness. Look at Matthew 6:15. "But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you." So Jesus knew just how destructive unforgiveness could be. And you will understand that, I promise you, by the end of this message. God said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit." Some people, you know, they hear and hear and hear, but they don't do. And Satan is a master of deceit. I preached Sunday. I didn't preach. I actually talked about the three parables during the offering that Jesus did on the power of a seed. Every seed and every deed that you sow, it reproduces itself. It will either reproduce itself positively or negatively. And so when you get the seed of God's word, you have to become a doer of the word. If you don't, you're deceiving yourself. And so many people are deceived. So point number one, what are the feelings of unforgiveness? What are the feelings of unforgiveness? Well, what is unforgiveness? It is not being willing to give up a resentment when someone has wronged you. You're just going to hold that grudge. You're going to hold on to it. And somebody wrongs you. Unforgiveness carries with it a desire to punish someone else. I'm going to get even with them. They did me wrong. And you may be angry with someone who has hurt you, and you may not be willing to pardon them. Well, put Hosea 5:15 up. That's not in my notes, but I'm going to show you a cousin to unforgiveness. And it is called offense. And I might even do one of these series on offense. Hosea 5:15, look at what God said. Hosea 5:15, brother, God said, "I'll go to my place of rest." God says, I'm the I am. I'm in time. I'm not in a capsule of time like you are. God said, "I am. I always have been, always will be. I'm not affected by time." But guess what? You and I, we are. Look at what God said. "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense." God says, "I'm going to return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." Now look at the next part of that. I prayed prayers for people that couldn't get healed, and I dealt with the offense and got them healed just like that. "In their affliction, they will seek me early." That is a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. Jesus, in his own hometown, in Mark chapter 4, if you take the Gospels and put them together, he said in his own hometown, he picked up the scroll of Isaiah, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And the people said, "Who does he think he is? Why, we know him. He's the carpenter." And the Bible says that they were offended at his words. And then the Bible says, "And he could do no mighty works there. He only healed a few sick folk because of their unbelief." In other words, you can get some things from God, but you can't get any mighty things from God. You can't get what God has purposed for your life if you go to the place of offense. We've always preached that they couldn't get healed because of unforgiveness and their unbelief. Well, what brought the unbelief? It was offense. They were offended at his words, and he could do no mighty works there. Where? At the place of offense. And you got to see that. Hallelujah. So the Bible is very clear. We must forgive others, and those who have wronged us, We must forgive them if we want God's forgiveness. Point number two, what will unforgiveness do to you? Well, first of all, it'll destroy you. How can you have joy and how can you have peace if you're holding a grudge against someone? You cannot. See, unforgiveness will torment your mind and it will cause you to hate instead of love. We got a young couple in here that they're going to get married sometimes in the middle of the year. And I told them, I said, I got a message for you. I said, because you're going to have to learn in your marriage how to forgive. See, and if you don't do that, it will destroy a marriage. It will destroy a home. It's like a cancer. It gets down inside of you and it's so destructive it begins to eat up everything that is good. It will torment you and cause your insides to be full of turmoil instead of full of peace. It will rob you of joy and of happiness. Unforgiveness is destructive, and that's why God wants us to learn to walk in forgiveness. You've heard it said that to err is human, but to forgive is divine, and that's not in the Bible, but it is true. You know, it's a principle. And sometimes we don't have the human strength to forgive. So where do you find that strength when you don't have it in yourself, in your own emotional makeup? Where do you find it? Well, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, it's flesh that rises up when you won't forgive. All of our emotions, they are driven by flesh. Somebody said, you're an emotional preacher. You just shout and dance and you're so emotional in your worship. And I asked God about that. God said, it's not emotions at all. He said, it is a spirit of thanksgiving and a spirit of praise that I have placed in your heart. And you just release it and praise me. People think I'm emotional. That's not an emotion. Human emotion doesn't cause that. When you get emotions, what you get is wildfire. But I get fire because it's not an emotion. It's my spirit of praise and a spirit of dance and a spirit of worship because of what he's done for me. And he's done so much. Can I get a witness out there? That I just want to do what he does and be more like Jesus. And you cannot do that unless you learn the power of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to listen to Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth. In an earlier letter, his first epistle, he had written to that church and he'd addressed some sinful issues on fornication and adultery and things like that, lasciviousness and greed. And it was going on by members in the church. He said, you can't do that. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And you're not to live that way. You've got to put off the old man and put on the new. The world's greatest put on the new. Hallelujah. I could preach there for a while. But Paul, he had to address this issue of forgiveness because of the destructive nature of that sin and how it would affect the entire church there at Corinth. So Paul realized how destructive that sin was. Listen to his compassion, 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. Look at that. To whom ye forgave anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it for your sake, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Paul said, I didn't even have the strength to do it, but I have an inward strength. The strength of the Spirit of God and the power of Christ living in my heart. So now look at verse 11. He said, I forgave it in the person of Christ. Now this is the clincher. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. If you are ignorant concerning the word, Jesus said, if you hear my sayings and do them, you're like a wise man that built his house on the rock. The storms are coming. The rain's going to descend. The floods are going to come. The wind's going to blow. It's going to beat upon your house. But if you'll order your life after my word and on the rock, he said, when those storms come, you'll stand through the test. You'll stand through the storm and you'll come out in victory. Hallelujah. How many want to live like that? See, when a person fails and sins, we've got to judge. The Bible says righteous judgment. That's what Paul did. He realized that person that had failed, that they had to be forgiven. And, you know, if we see a brother or sister in a sin, we're not to judge unrighteously. The Bible said we're to restore them with a spirit of meekness. He said, you consider that you yourself could be in that state. So, you know, none of us have arrived yet, and we're all fighting the same battles. And so what we have to do is learn how to deal with these issues in life. See, if we don't forgive, Satan gets an advantage over us. We don't need to be ignorant concerning that. Now, look at Ephesians 4:24, because Paul has something to say, an awful lot to say about this subject matter. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Now, when I got saved, it was such a powerful impact upon my life. I had no problem forgiving. And God spoke to me, and they used to call it restitution. You don't hear much about that in the church anymore. In other words, if you've offended a brother, go to that brother and fix it. They didn't say wait till they come to you. Go fix it. Get the problem handled. And so God gave me three things, three areas that a person has to forgive in. He said, I want you to forgive others. And I went to people and I told them I was sorry for what I did when I was a sinner. Now, you know, if you slept with a man's wife, don't go do that. You mess up his marriage. Don't do that crazy stuff like that. If you can fix it, if you owe somebody, pay them. But you use some wisdom. Some things you just have to ask God to forgive you, and you just got to go on with. You know, you got to be wise is what I'm saying. And God says now, he said, you've received my forgiveness, and you've forgiven others. He said, I want you to complete the circle. And it was the hardest part for me. I want you to forgive yourself. Now, life can hand you some hard blows, and sometimes we feel like I have failed. But God let me know that my power of forgiveness of sin is so powerful that I release you from everything. I want you to release others, and I want you to release yourself. Now, I could never go, put Romans 8:1 up there. See, I could never go on with my life, and neither can anyone else, unless you realize this, Romans 8:1. There's therefore now, this moment, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, if you're walking and doing everything you can to live according to the Word of God, God says, I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to put them in a sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, I'm casting them from you. Now, when you begin to realize great truths like that, if any man hear my sayings and do them, you've got to reckon the Word of God to your account. And once you see that, you start walking in the liberty that God has created for you. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Put 2 Corinthians 5:17 up. There's so many people, they live in their past. And God's got me hung up right here for somebody for a reason. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some translations say a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're in Christ, you are a new creature, a new creation. And all that you ever did in your past is gone. And once you realize that, then you start becoming a doer of the Word, and you see that you're the very righteousness of God, that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you have power and authority over the devil, that sin has no dominion over you, that you are who God said you are. That's why I love that confession of faith. I'm wanting you to get that in you so when you read your Bible, then you say, hey, that's who I am in Christ. But if you will learn the power of forgiveness, then it will take you through life on a high plane. You'll have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. You'll just be a joyous Christian. You'll have peace. And everything is okay with God and with man. And see, if you don't love God whom you have not seen, how can you love your brother whom you have seen? Now, all these things mean something. So we're dealing with a subject here, a storm that comes in life. So how do we survive this storm? Well, you can just be kind, and you can forgive others. And if you'll be tender-hearted, you can live in victory. Look at Colossians 3:13. Forbearing, or bearing with one another. That's what that means. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you also. Forbearing, bearing with. I don't like you. Well, I don't like me either. Some things about me I don't like. But the Bible says, bear with them. They're God's child. They're growing in grace and knowledge. They might have had a bad day. Who knows what caused it? I know what caused it. You get to the root of it, and you'll find a devil. Because God is a positive God, and he doesn't bring things like this. It comes from the enemy of our soul. Jesus said, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. So God can only forgive us in the way that we forgive others. But if you're going to carry hatred and bitterness and malice in your heart, it'll get in there and it will destroy you. And you have to know that. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I wasn't treated right. I was treated wrong. Well, Jesus was treated wrong. They killed him, nailed him to a cross, cursed him, mocked him, forsook him, betrayed him. I mean, it's getting on down now. But he says, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. So we're talking about a reality here and not a dream. We're talking about life. And how do you live a victorious life? And how do you survive these storms that the devil is sending your way? You learn you to grow through them. If it's a test, praise God, pass it. Israel, they've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years around the same mountain, around and around and around and around. And if it takes God 40 years to get you straight, get me straight, that's guess what? That's what he'll do. But he'll just keep testing you and trying you till you get over it. I like what God said to Moses when he got through the Red Sea there. And he got to the other side and they broke out the tambourines. They began to dance and praise God. Miriam did, and singing the song of Moses there. And God told Moses, said, you'll never see that enemy again. I promise you, you'll see this one again. But if you defeat him once, when he sticks his head up, you know how to get him the next time. You take the word of God and just keep building a strong foundation on the word of God. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, he taught us about forgiving one another. Look at what he said in Luke 6:37. He said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. See, we need to call unforgiveness what it is. It is a sin. That's exactly what it is. How can we, who have been forgiven of so much, how can we ever withhold forgiveness from someone else? See, as soon as I got saved and I realized what God had done in my life, it was just easy for me. I just wanted to forgive everybody. I thought everybody should be saved. And I couldn't understand why they weren't. You know, I tried to get them all saved, still try to get them saved. But, you know, I was blind and they're blind. The Bible says if our gospel is hid, it is hid by the God of this world who has blinded their minds to the glorious gospel. At least God should set them free. So Satan puts blinders on us. And unfortunately, so many Christians, they walk with blinders on because they don't listen to the word. They don't do the word. They come to church, but they have ears that cannot hear. They have eyes that cannot see. And if you're not careful, church just becomes a formality. I'll go to church. Well, you won't meet the Bible Jesus unless you live by the word of God. You have a religious Jesus. I'm going to church. That's good. Go to church. Seek not to assume yourself together. You might have a denominational Jesus. I've had people tell me, you know the Bible says that sanctification is a second definite work of grace. I said, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. I said, that's your doctrine. I said, that is, the principle is real, but that is not Bible. People argue you down. I tell you, they will. They hadn't read the Bible. They haven't studied the Bible. And they're trying to tell me, come on, let's get real. Become a student of the word, and you won't have to wonder what the preacher is saying is true or not. You'll know it. Can I get a good amen? Hallelujah, amen. What else will unforgiveness do? Well, it can create an emotional scar. It creates scars in our lives. And sometimes these things are so deep that they hurt like a cancer, and they just eat our insides up. So unforgiveness is an emotional situation down on the inside of you. How did it get there? It got there because you felt like somebody hurt you and you could not pardon and forgive them. Let me tell you something. God will not come to your pity party. God will not come to my pity party. Most people will not come to your pity party. You talk to them long enough about somebody did me wrong song, and they'll walk off and leave you. The only person that's coming to your pity party is the devil and his demons. I guarantee you he'll be there. And he'll just poke that thing and poke that thing and keep adding more and more fuel to the fire. Amen. But it's a scar. That's what unforgiveness is, an emotional scar. And if you open the thing up, it bleeds and it hurts. Now, let me help you right here. If my friend hurts me, that's reality. He did that to me. If I become bitter, that's a reaction, and I did that to me. That's the truth. Let me say that again. If my best friend hurts me, that is reality. He did that to me. If I become bitter, that's reaction, and I did that to me. Well, unforgiveness is internal, and nobody can put that inside of you except for you. You put it in your own heart by your reaction to life's circumstances, to the storms that come your way. That's why I like that saying, I'm not going to let my happiness be in somebody else's head. My happiness is in Jesus. And I don't lose a whole lot of sleep over what people do. I've got, put Philippians 4:8 up, but I'll show you how to get victory real quick. Philippians 4:8. It starts off, it says, be in Philippians 4:6, but put 8 up there. It says, be anxious or be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, brethren, now 8 places to think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Can you control your thinking? Certainly you can. When the devil comes, the Bible says, cast down those imaginations and high thoughts and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Now, something could be true, they did me wrong. Was it a good report? No. Did it have virtue and praise? No. So, well, they did hurt me, but it doesn't fit my formula, so I'm not going to think on it. If I'm going to think on anything, it's got to fit Philippians 4:8. If I'm going to meditate on it, if I'm going to give my mind over to it, if I'm going to think on it, as soon as I see it doesn't fit that formula, I throw it out. Put 2 Corinthians 4:10 up there, if you would. 2 Corinthians 4:10. See, the mind is the battleground, and emotional scars can destroy you, and you have to know that. Go to the next verse, 14, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. I'm sorry, I tried that. I'll quote it if I don't find it. I find it late in my brain. But it says, casting down imaginations and high thoughts and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and high thought that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what does the knowledge of God say? Forgive. It says, if I will forgive, then God will forgive me. If I don't forgive, God won't forgive me. Matter of fact, if there's iniquity in my heart, the Bible says, God will not hear me. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so if you want God's favor on your life, you have to live according to the word of God and be a doer of the word. Jesus said, if you hear my sayings and do them, I will liken you unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house. It fell not, but it was founded upon the rock. Jesus was a powerful preacher. That's why I love this text in Matthew 7. Unforgiveness is internal. Unforgiveness is a situation that can lead to a state of depression. Think about that. If you refuse to forgive a person, that causes you to be sad. It causes sadness and depression. And if you get depressed enough, guess what? The next thing the devil will tell you is, why don't you just go on and commit suicide? Nobody loves you anyway. It'll get you to the place you don't like yourself. Well, see, if you get sad enough, you become depressed. So we cannot allow hatred and envy and jealousy and strife and stuff like that into our hearts and unforgiveness. We have to learn how to love and we have to learn how to live. Now, I'm going to share something with you. When I came back from Vietnam, it would have been easy for me to have been bitter and to have hated people because of the way I was treated. Vietnam veterans were rejected. We fought a war, and what we did was not popular. They called us baby killers. We weren't baby killers. We were warriors that served our country. So I had to learn how to overcome those feelings of rejection. I had to learn how to overcome that bitterness and that resentment. And it kept trying to enter into my heart. And I was afraid of myself, to be honest with you. I really was. I was a time bomb. If you push my button, you know, I knew that what we did in combat was not acceptable behavior here. So I struggled with that. And I struggled with it for 17 long years. And it finally was about to get the best of me, and that's when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. I knew that I could not handle that anymore. I could not. And I didn't want to do anything to hurt anybody. I'd seen enough pain. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, all the pain and all the sorrow and all the dreams, they left me instantly. September 26, 1982. I was born again. I have never had another dream about Vietnam. I can tell you about it. I can run a patrol for you. I know that stuff. It's in me. It's deep down in me. I know that how to do it. But I can't explain how God, I have the memory, but I don't have the pain. And that's the way God works. Sometimes God fixes our insides before he fixes the outside. You can call it sanctification. You can call it total surrender. You can call it commitment. You can call it whatever you want to. But when God gets all of you and you say, I'm going to do what the Word of God says, you will start walking in a victory. And the storms of life, they will come, but you'll be able to overcome them. See, there's power in the blood, and there's power in forgiveness. And after I realized how much I was forgiven of, it was so easy for me to forgive others. And I've had to go back over and over and over and forgive people. And I am convinced, I used to preach as an evangelist, and I would have people in the prayer line, and the Holy Ghost would talk to me and tell me, since they have unforgiveness in their heart, I can't heal them. I can't. He can't. Why can't he? Jesus said, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And God's not going against his word. He's just not. You know, the word of God on any subject matter is that seed. And once that seed germinates in your heart, Jesus said the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, like the grain of a mustard seed. He said when it is sown, it groweth up. And as it grows up, it becometh. Well, what do you want your life to become? Do you want to become like Jesus? Then you've got to get the sayings of Jesus and his word in your heart, and then you got to do those sayings. And if you don't, it cannot grow and produce what God wants it to produce. When I began to see this, it changed my whole world. Hallelujah. But see, God is love, and Jesus, when he comes into our heart, he changes everything. Like that song says, a baby changes everything. Hallelujah. So when you're full of God, you're full of love. And if you're not full of love, guess who's working on you? You could be a Christian, but never have what God has purposed for your life. But if you don't forgive, guess what? You might miss heaven. Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you make a mistake, and we all do, and sin, you got to confess that sin. But you can confess till you're blind in the face. But if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. If you offended, God said, I'll just go to my place until you acknowledge your offense. You're headed to affliction. You're headed to storms. You're headed to disease. You're headed to sickness. You're headed to financial difficulties. Your life is headed to destruction simply because you offended. This is powerful what I'm talking about. It'll change your whole world. It did mine. Hallelujah. I'm preaching out of my overflow. I'm not preaching something I read in a book, even though I read a lot. I'm preaching something I lived. I'm preaching something I had to do to get the victory that I needed in my life. I was broken. I was fragmented. But he's still working on me. And I love that song. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. He took all my brokenness and all my pain and made something beautiful out of my life. Called me to preach his word and to help others. He says how beautiful the feet are, those who preach good news. Let me see your feet, Brother Ricky, preaching that good news. You know, feet, they aren't too pretty, are they? But God says they're beautiful if you just carry the gospel and bless other people. Let's look at some examples of forgiveness. David forgave his son Absalom. Look at 2 Samuel 18:33. Here's a man that rose up to take the throne away from David, his daddy, Absalom. And the king, 2 Samuel 18:33, and the king was moved and went over to his chamber, over the gate, and wept as he went. Thus he said, O Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee. O Absalom, Absalom, my son. He loved that boy. He said, I would have died in your place. He had risen up and tried to take over his entire empire. See, when you're ready to die for somebody, I can promise you one thing, you have forgiven them. I know that because Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. You know, the father of the prodigal son, number B there, the father of the prodigal son, he forgave. And look at Luke 15:20. The son had been living a life of sin. He ended up in the hog pen. Look what he did. Luke 15:20. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Now that's forgiveness. And ran. That's forgiveness. He ran to him, not away from him, the father did, and fell on his neck. That's forgiveness. And kissed him. That's forgiveness. And look at verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. See, the father forgave. He forgave him of everything. He said, bring the best robe. Put a new ring on his hand. Put some shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. That's grace right there. He extended grace. That is a picture, my friends, of our Heavenly Father and his divine favor and his grace when we acknowledge our sins and return to him. Let me give you one last one. Jesus on the cross forgave. Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were nailing him to the cross. They were putting a crown of thorns on his head, jamming a spear through his side. And he said, Father, forgive them. How do you overcome? Point number four. How do you overcome this thing, forgiveness, Brother Ricky? First of all, you got to think honestly. You try to understand both sides of the problem. See, that's not in our human nature. Our emotional makeup is not like that. It's human nature is to think about your side and your side only. But you can believe me, there are two sides to every situation. How many found that out? Secondly, how do you overcome those feelings of unforgiveness? Consult a person of ability, such as a minister or a spiritual person. Someone that you can confide in. How do you overcome it? Third, to be like Jesus. Forgive those that have done you wrong. And when you do that, sin loses its power. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when somebody hurts you or me, they don't know the deep emotional scars that they leave on our lives. And that's why the songs we were singing, the power of the blood, the power of the name of Jesus, that's why it's so important for us to remember that. Because he does truly. When we become a doer of the word, he breaks every chain. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Power in the name of Jesus. Glory.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
While he's singing that, why don't you just take this as a time with God and say, God, I surrender my past to you, the pains, the hurts. I forgive everybody, Lord, and I surrender that to you so I can walk in the life you have prepared for me. I surrender all. You want to come to the altar to do it? Feel welcome to do it, or you can do it right there and you'll sing. Hallelujah. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Thank you, Lord, for grace.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
I give it to You, Lord. I surrender it.
All these